Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we are talking with a special guest about something that so many of you are curious about, OnlyFans. We are covering everything from what is OnlyFans, how you make money from it, and just more about everything you really need to know about it. So if you've ever posted pictures of yourself on Instagram or on Facebook or other social media platforms, have you thought about making money from it? This episode is super juicy and really fun, and I can't wait for you to listen. Are you wanting to improve your intimacy and would like some wonderful ideas to help you? I have created the 30-day intimacy challenge. To get my free 30-day intimacy challenge, all you gotta do is leave a review for the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast. Once you do that on iTunes, take a screenshot, share it over on Instagram, and tag me, Jordan Donnell, in it. That will get you your free copy of my 30 Days of Intimacy Challenge. It is super fun, it is super juicy, and can't wait for you to try these. You can do it in whatever order you'd like, whether you'd like to do all 30 of them or pick and choose, it's up to you. Go write your review and get your 30 Days of Intimacy Challenge started right away. Joining me today is Valerie. Valerie Rocio is a multifaceted, creative, and serial entrepreneur. She is the host of the You Glow Girl podcast, and she is passionate about sex positivity, mental health, veganism, feminism, and empowering women. Today, she is joining me to talk all about OnlyFans. So, Valerie, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat. I had so much fun talking on my podcast. I'm excited to be on yours now. So in general, I have a couple different things going on. I have a couple businesses that I run. I have a marketing agency, a wedding videography business, and I just recently launched a picnic business, which does pop-up picnics, and I'm in the DFW area, so most of my businesses and clients are primarily here. I also have a podcast, the You Glow Girl podcast, which you were a guest on. And that's where I have a little bit more creative freedom, a little bit more versatility to share more of my passions like spirituality, veganism, things that aren't like work related necessarily. And then on the side of that, I do a little bit of OnlyFans for a little bit of extra income.
Yes, you guys have to check out her picnics. They are the cutest thing ever. And I just love the idea and totally want to have one for myself. So tell me a little bit more about OnlyFans. Like, where did your journey start with this? What is it?
Yeah, so OnlyFans is a platform very similar to Instagram, where you post content, you have a feed, and you have followers. And the biggest difference is that people cannot access your content unless they pay your subscription fee. So it is a subscription-based platform, very similar to Patreon, where, and that's why it's so profitable. That's why a lot of people use it for a job or a side hustle or as their primary income, because you can post content and make money off of it. So it can be, it's very flexible. It's all under your own control and preference. You can post as little or as much as you want to. I got into it because I have one of my best friends. That's what her full-time job is. She is full-time on OnlyFans and on Instagram. She started out in the fitness industry and started to build a really strong platform of a lot of male followers. And when OnlyFans launched, I think at the time she was dancing, and dancing is very taxing on your sleep schedule, on your mental health, on your overall well-being. It's a lot of long hours. It's a very physical job. It's just overall very taxing on your body and your mind. And so I think she wanted an alternative where she could make a little bit more consistent money, feel a little bit safer. So she decided to try out OnlyFans and started doing that full time. And when the pandemic hit last year, I had a lot more time on my hands. So I was really fortunate to not have lost a lot of income or almost any income during the pandemic, because I run my businesses. And with the nature of my businesses, they actually grew during the pandemic, but I had more time on my hands, and we have some debt that we have from like our wedding and things like that. So I was looking for additional streams of income, because as small businesses don't start out making millions. And so even though my businesses are doing very well, I personally don't make a lot of money right now and I don't pay myself a lot. So I really wanted to get some additional income to start paying off debts a little bit faster. So she recommended I try it out and I was really, really nervous about it because I was worried about my mainly body image and confidence issues. I was like, I'm not cute enough. I'm not in good enough shape right now. No one's going to want to subscribe. I'd have to promote it. What are my clients going to think? A lot of things came up, but I ended up doing it. And yeah, it's a platform. It's a subscription-based platform where you can post content. So that's the small gist of it.
Yeah. And I know, like, for me personally, 7 streams of income, I think is what I've heard, is how many different streams of income you should go for. So I totally understand why adding an extra stream could be really beneficial. I've had a lot of people tell me about Patreon as well. And this is something that I think is a huge misconception with OnlyFans, is that people think OnlyFans is amateur porn. What content do you actually find on OnlyFans, and why, and maybe you can speak to a little bit about the history behind OnlyFans, because I don't think that's what they intended it for at all.
Yeah, so OnlyFans was actually intended to be very similar to Patreon. I believe the creators of it, I think it's a UK-based company. The creators intended for it to be a subscription-based platform for content creators. So that could be literally anything. It could be if you're a fitness coach and you want to sell courses. It could be if you are a YouTuber, but you want to make additional income and have more exclusive content for your subscribers. If you're a teacher and you have additional tips, it could literally be for anything, just like Patreon is. Patreon's really well known in like the artistic community. It's musicians, models, tattoo artists are getting in there. I know a lot of YouTubers are leaning towards it as well because you just have a little bit more control over your money. So OnlyFans was intended to be this platform. And I believe a lot of Instagram influencers and females whose platform does rely heavily on their physical appearance, on their looks, on their sexuality. I think a lot of them were starting to be really frustrated with Instagram because it is shadow banning a lot of people. A lot of stuff is getting blocked. People's accounts were getting deleted. And you're only, in that case, paid as well by sponsored ads or sponsorships or collaborations. And so having a platform like OnlyFans gives you a room to make so much more money. And like you said, everyone needs, can benefit from an additional stream of income. And OnlyFans can be really anything you want. I have a friend who is a realtor and she puts tips and educational courses on OnlyFans. I know somebody who does yoga classes on there. So it really can be anything, but I think it really boomed with a lot of the female influencers and now has become prominently known with female influencers or sex workers. And even men are in there now. And so I think because it's heavily involved with sex work, which is still a very taboo industry that most people don't understand and immediately associate with porn only, I think that's why people think it is a porn site when, yes, there is porn on there. There absolutely is. But there's also very far from porn content on there as well. So I think that is a huge misconception. And I think it also is just really dependent on who you're following and what you see, because there are girls and men who are comfortable on there to do full on porn and get paid for it. And they rightly should, because if you're going to do work or if you're choosing to do that as work, then you absolutely should be paid for it. And so I think that's where there's a lot of misconception and a lot of gray area and a lot of upset, is that people shouldn't be using it in a certain way, or there's just a lot of judgment around that industry in general.
Yeah, and you bring up such a good point about Instagram basically cock blocking people. And I know, like, Sex with Ashley, I don't know if you follow her, but her profile got taken down recently and it's all educational stuff. I've been banned on YouTube before for talking about the clitoris, and there's so much censorship over women's bodies and women in particular, and it's just crazy. So I totally see why people would switch over to OnlyFans, and why not? Like, why not be making money off of that? Like, I love to take little booty pics and just keep them in my phone or whatever. I would love to post that somewhere. And how nice would it be to make a couple extra $100 just because I feel like taking a picture and sharing it, and I'm not getting 100 likes over on Instagram. I'm getting $200 in my bank account. Like, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what the biggest misconception is too, is that girls are going on there and they have to do nudity or porn, and they don't. If you like taking booty pics, you can post booty pics on there. Honestly, the content that I put on there is nothing more than what I wore when I bartended at Twin Peaks. And that's just a personal thing. I'm a lot more comfortable wearing a little bit less clothing in front of people. I did work at Twin Peaks, Hooters, Tight Ends, places like that for 6 years. So I am pretty comfortable being looked at in that way when I'm choosing to be. But I think that's where a lot of women feel that pressure of like, or they feel almost shame around even being considering OnlyFans, whether it's out of, you know, necessity or just out of intrigue. And there's nothing wrong with it. You're in total control. It's your body at the end of the day. It's basically like running your own business, because you can always decide what's too much, what's not enough, what you want to do more of. And even if you decide to get a little bit more risque and try something a little adventurous and go, maybe you're doing implied nudes and then you decide to do topless and decide that that's not for you, you can not do that. You can turn right back around and not do that. So you're always in total control of the content that you're creating. And there's a lot of women who are on OnlyFans who are only doing swimsuits and implieds, lingerie videos and photos, feet pics. Like, there's so many different niches, and you don't have to get nude. You don't have to do strip teases. You don't have to twerk. You don't have to masturbate. You can just post hot pictures of yourself that maybe you were putting them on Instagram, and now you're like, well, why am I putting these on Instagram for free? Now put them on OnlyFans.
Yes, I love that. And I think we forget that there is like a niche for everything. There is a fetish for everything. And so it could just be, you know, pictures of your feet, pictures of your feet and heels, like literally everything, hand pictures. Somebody was telling me that, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but here we go. So I have a really long throat. And this friend of mine who happens to be a comedian was telling me that I should have a throat only fans because some men may really enjoy looking at my long throat, like for whatever reason, but you can make money with anything.
Yeah. And I think that's also why people shouldn't be so, if like someone is considering going on there, but is insecure or not confident about their body because they're worried that they don't look sexy enough, or they're not hot enough, or they're not in shape enough, just go for it, because there is someone for everyone. Someone out there is going to think you're hot. And honestly, the platform is filled with tons of dudes who just want to look at women. So if you're comfortable with that and you're trying to make some extra money, absolutely go for it. If you're a thick girl, if you're petite, if you don't have a booty, but you got boobies, like whatever it is, like somebody is going to find that attractive. I think the biggest struggle that people don't understand about OnlyFans is that you do have to promote your profile and in order to make money. And that's how the platform works. The overall structure of the platform is obviously it's monetized. Obviously they're here to make money. So it's not a search engine like Instagram. You can't search hashtag short brunettes. You can't like search somebody or a type of person. You only can go through someone's link to find you. So if you're wanting to start a platform, in order to build an audience and make money, you have to promote that platform. So that's, it can be done through Twitter, through Instagram, if you're careful, you know, Reddit, any places like that. And that's how people find you. So it's not something that you can totally keep on the DL. I've had friends who would say, I would totally do it if my grandma would never know, or I would totally do it if I didn't have so many friends, like family on Facebook. And I totally get that. And that's probably the hardest part, is that you do kind of have to, you know, post it. You know, there's nothing shameful about it. I understand that some people maybe don't want their colleagues to find out or their brother to find out. But that is like one of the harder things, is that you do have to promote your link in order to build a following. And that's how you get paid, is because if you don't have followers, then you're not going to get your subscription fee paid. So that's how you can not make money, or you can make a lot of money. Basically, you have your subscription fee. So for example, mine is $10. So if I have a following of 20 people, that's $200 a month I'm making just from the subscription fee alone. And that doesn't include pay-per-view content. So similar to Instagram, you have your feed where people can look at your content, anything that you post on the feed, as long as they paid the subscription fee. So nobody can see your profile unless they've paid. I know a lot of people worry about like, what if my friends or those bitchy girls from high school creep on me? It's like, unless they're going to pay and put money in your pocket, they can't see it. So there's that main feed that $10, my $10 subscription fee gives them access to. Additionally, you can send out pay-per-view messages, and that's where you can really make some money, because let's say you send out a video every, and this is where you want to get a little bit more creative. So let's say you only do lingerie pictures on your feed. Maybe you do some lingerie videos, or maybe more risque lingerie in your messages. Then you can send those messages out to your subscribers. And like I said, if I have 20 subscribers and I'm sending out a video for $10 and even 10 of them buy it, that's an extra $100. But if I'm sending out a video 3 times a week, 4 weeks a month, I don't know the math, but that's how it compounds.
Yeah, that's something like $1,200-ish or more dollars. Something mm-hmm. like that. That's really
and
bad.
Most girls... Mm-hmm. And most girls who hustle on there are sending out pay-per-view messages every other day. So you can really make some money on there. And like, it doesn't have to be $10. Like, you can sell content for $100 or for $5. So you can, there is a little bit of a marketing and finance aspect to it, because you want to obviously consider, okay, if I have 50 subscribers and I want them all to buy the content, maybe I'll do a lower price. Or if you're sending something out that was worth a higher dollar, you can send it out for $100 and like, you have to, they can't see it. So you want to like tease whatever it is, like, oh, look at my cute new pajamas or whatever it may be, and kind of market whatever you're selling them. And then just keep in mind that you have something higher dollar, you might get less volume, but it all compounds in that way. So there is the fun business marketing side to it.
I feel like that's almost a good tool to help people learn some of that business and marketing, because it's a skill that you really have to develop, and you definitely, most people don't have that overnight at all.
Definitely. And my friends who use OnlyFans full time, it's down to a science. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. If they are going on vacation for a week and they need a little bit of extra money because they want to go party or they want to book a flight or a nice hotel, then, you know, send out messages every day. You can also do custom content, and that's where you can make some really good money too. Is it, let's say somebody like, I'm a short Hispanic girl, so I have a nice booty. So most of my requests are like, oh, can I get, you know, a better picture of your butt or whatever? And so those are the kind of things that you can do a custom video, a custom piece of content for, and you can sell that for a lot more. So some girls have like a menu of services of like a custom video is $100. A custom photo bundle of 5 photos is $50. A voice memo is, you know, $200. Things like that. So you can do that, or you can just pick and choose like whatever you want. And I think people are get scared, like, what if somebody asks me for full nudes and you're not comfortable with that? You can just say no. Like, you don't have to do it. You don't, just because they're paying the $10 a month, they're getting the feed content. And if they have a problem with that, then they can unsubscribe. You don't have to do anything. They will ask, because most of these guys are just pervy dudes looking to see something. So you just have to kind of have your own limits and not give in if you're not comfortable. And that was something I learned very quickly at Twin Peaks. People would get a little too comfortable with you, things like that. So you do just have to put your foot down. And just because they're paying something doesn't mean you have to give it to them. People will tip you here and there, so you can make extra money that way. But just make sure you like put your foot down if you're not comfortable. And just like, somebody can, I mean, they'll ask every day, like, oh, well, you did this video and that was basically nude. Can I have a nude video? And it's like, well, no, I don't want to. So then you can just leave it at that.
I love that. And I think that that's so important to know that you can say no. And I think that's part of the misconception of what OnlyFans is. And I know for me, like, when I first heard of OnlyFans, I thought that that's everybody was doing it. Everybody was sending full nude pornos and you just kind of did whatever they wanted. But knowing that you can say no is so important. Do you feel like OnlyFans has given you a confidence boost?
Yeah, I think it definitely makes you feel good. I mean, any attention like that, whether it's superficial or not, it is validating when people think you look good, when people think you're hot. And if people are throwing money at you because you're hot, I mean, obviously that makes you feel real good. And so for me, it does make me feel good in my body. For a while, I came from like the bodybuilding industry, and then I worked at Twin Peaks and places like that. So there was a large chunk of my life where my career and my hobbies very heavily revolved around my body and my fitness. And since I started my businesses, I took it the back burner and I got out of shape and it wasn't my biggest priority. So I was kind of feeling down on myself. And so, you know, feeling sexy and like buying lingerie, whether it's going on OnlyFans or not, having those things made me feel a bit better about myself again. And then being able to like make money off of it and be like, wow, I am the hot girl that I used to be. Like, damn, I'm making an extra $2,000 a month right now just because I'm hot. Like, just because I posted a picture in this super cute piece of lingerie, like that makes you feel good. And that's obviously like a personal thing. If men getting googly-eyed over you isn't, you know, doesn't make you comfortable. Like, we had a friend who actually was really struggling during COVID and needed some extra money. So we were like, hey, jump on OnlyFans. Like, you're so cute. You'll do so well. She was a model and she did it for 3 days. And then she got really creeped out. She's like, I'm not comfortable with like guys saying how cute they think I am or how hot I am. So she just closed her account, withdrew her money and closed her account. And it's, that's totally fine. So it really depends on your comfort level as well. Like for me, I don't mind. It makes me feel a little bit hot and sexy and I feel good. So it does really just come down to your personal preference.
Yeah. And I think like taking videos or pictures of yourself in lingerie or where you just feel good and sexy, whether that's for yourself or OnlyFans, can be so empowering and make you feel really good.
Yeah. I think the empowering aspect is huge as well, because I think a lot of social media tries to say that it's degrading or belittling for women to be on a platform like that. But I disagree. I think it's extremely empowering. I think it's also a really great, safe place for sex workers. I think for women who were dancing or maybe doing anything else or escort services, anything like that, if that was their means of survival and like their livelihood pre-COVID, I think having an online platform, it saved a lot of people. It gave a lot of people money to survive. And not only did it give them the financial stability, but it also gave them a really safe means to do it, because they weren't having to go out to clubs and work until 5 a.m. trying to walk to their car with a ton of cash. And that can be a really unsafe situation when you're already putting so much on the line, just trying to make ends meet. So I think there's that aspect of it that is empowering, that, you know, you're doing what you need to do and it's much more secure. But I think it's also empowering because women are sexualized day in and day out by men against their will, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's at the bank, whether it's at the gas station, whether you're with your kids or with your husband, somebody out there is creeping on you, licking his lips, being gross and sexualizing you. And I have never met a woman who hasn't had that experience. And I think having an OnlyFans is taking control of that. It's saying, if you're going to sexualize me, it's going to be on my terms and you're going to pay for it. So I think that's really, really empowering in itself, because it's removing that sexualization and putting it back in our own hands and choosing when we're going to be sexualized. And I think that's still a really hard pill for a lot of society to swallow, because people will, with now women speaking out a bit more, being like, don't sexualize me just because I'm wearing a bikini. And then they get upset at that same girl being like, well, you have an OnlyFans. And it's like, yeah, but that's my choice. It's like if you're a waitress and you go to somebody's house and they make you wait their tables, it's like, no, I'm not on the clock. I'm not choosing to be clocked in right now. Like, I'm at your house. Like, you don't insist on them working. So it's the exact same concept. Like, you choose when you're clocking in and clocking out. You choose when you're being sexualized. You choose when you're being sexy, and you're charging for it because it's all on your terms at that point. So I think that's really, really empowering. And I think it takes a lot of the taboo context out of it when you can think of it more of like a job.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Now, I'm curious, you're married. When you decided to get an OnlyFans, what did that conversation look like? And was he supportive? Tell me more.
Yeah, my husband was super, super supportive. But honestly, I'm really lucky because I have the most chill, trusting relationship ever. I'm very fortunate because me and my husband have a very, very healthy relationship when it comes to trust and support and thing and respect and things like that. My husband is also English, so he's on a very liberal side of things. But basically, he knows my best friend who's on OnlyFans, and he sees that she's balling at life and she feels good and she loves life and she's doing great and she's financially independent and secure. I mean, there's no shame in that whatsoever. And when we first started dating, I was working at Twin Peaks and I was 19 and I had college paid off off with cash and I had my own apartment and I was taking him shopping on the weekends and buying him money, buying him clothes with money that old men were tipping me. Like, there's nothing wrong with it if you're comfortable with it. Like, I was perfectly fine with it. And so he's never really had a problem with it. Obviously, I started a couple businesses in the past year. And so that was a conversation we had of, you know, is this a good business decision for my reputation? What will my clients think? So that was part of the conversation that we had. He obviously is just going to support me regardless, but it was just things that I had to consider as a business owner. And ultimately there, it was, if I was bartending on the side for my businesses, it's not something that my clients would need to know about, nor is it any of their business or their place to judge. So what difference does it make if I'm bartending or on OnlyFans on the side to make money in my personal time? So we considered that. But as far as him and like being my husband and knowing that other men are looking at me in that way, it doesn't really bother him. I can understand why it might make somebody uncomfortable, but I think if you are in a secure enough and confident enough relationship, it's not a huge issue. For him, he just feels like, I am hot. And if I can make extra money off of being hot and still be comfortable and feel safe, then why the hell not? He's like, at the end of the day, I'm sleeping in bed with you, not these guys. They don't have any access to you other than what you're choosing to show them. So at the end of the day, it is all in my control. We had the conversation of what will I be comfortable with, whether it's just lingerie pictures that I post on Instagram, pajama pictures, or am I going to do topless? Am I going to do nudity? Am I going to do implieds? Like, we had that conversation of what am I comfortable with? And he was supportive regardless of what that was. And I think that's important to have in a relationship. And I can see why it could cause conflict, because it's definitely different. It's not the norm. We don't grow up with our mom. Most of us don't grow up with our moms doing sex work or anything of that nature. So it's not really something that we're raised to have the conversation about. But I'm just really fortunate because he's super supportive and he's not really bothered. And if anything, we kind of joke about it when I've got a guy tipping me $10 to, you know, ask dirty questions. Sometimes I just let my husband answer him and I'm making money off of that. And it's, you know, there's no harm in it. It's just, it's all fun and games. And I think you can't take it too seriously because it's really just it's not as crazy as people make it seem.
I am dying. That is hilarious that you let him answer. I feel like for some relationships, so I think the right word is voyeurism, but for some relationships, your partner may enjoy watching you make other men happy or make other men be interested. And so it may actually add to some relationships too. I think it's all about communication and who knows.
Yeah, definitely. And my husband takes my picture sometimes. If I'm like, oh, I got a ton of new lingerie in, can you help take my pictures on Sunday? He's hell yeah. And he's so down to take my pictures. And he's, you know, telling me to pose and, you know, what looks cute. And he's like, yep, that looks hot. And then once we finish our photo shoot, he's like, okay, I'm ready. Come sit on my face.
I love that. And I love how involved he is. That is super awesome. Now, okay, I need some tips for taking sexy pictures. What do you do besides having him help you?
I mean, I feel like I'm doing all right. I don't know. It's hard because you do have to be in the mood for it. And I think, like, kudos to the girls who do it full time, because I can tell you I'm in the mood to take hot photos like once a month. And I've got friends who are doing it every single day. I think you just have to take it, like, you have to figure out what works for you and just not take it too seriously. In the beginning, I was doing a full face of makeup, brand new lingerie every single time. And that's probably a great start because you probably do feel super confident in that way. So maybe treat yourself to a ton of lingerie first that fits you. I think that's a really big deal, is to buy lingerie that's actually your size. I think a lot of times we try to talk ourselves down. No, I'm a small. No, I can get into a small. And then when you put that small on, and if you've got a little bit of hips hugging and like rolls, like, you're not going to feel good. No one can see the tag on it. So buy this lingerie that fits your body. And that's when you'll feel really good in it. Always have, you know, your windows open, get that good lighting in there, give your neighbors a show. And I just think, figure out what works for you, what makes you feel cute. I am not sexy goddess. Like, I'm very much a cutesy little petite thing. And so I kind of embrace that persona. So I'm more of like the timid, shy, like, I'm not pulling sexy faces. I'm not doing like moaning faces. That is not my jam. And that's not something like, I also don't do twerk videos. I'm not a dancer. So I just kind of found that, you know, I'm a big fan of my butt. So I don't mind a photo that makes my butt look good. I look cute in some like frilly little jammies or frilly little lingerie. Like, you just kind of define your vibe. Like, don't fit into a category that isn't for you. If you're not excited about it, you're going to look uncomfortable and feel uncomfortable. So I think definitely just figure out like your style and everything. And that's what you can do in the beginning, at least to get some momentum and get a little bit more comfortable doing it. Now I'm like, oh, I need to make some content. And I'm like fresh out of the shower, no makeup on, like sweatshirt and a thong. And I'm like, this looks cute. So I think you just get used to it. You figure out what works for you.
You absolutely do. I think people love natural beauty. And so that fresh out of the shower look can be really hot and really sexy for a lot of people. When it comes to OnlyFans, how much money do you actually make? What cut does OnlyFans take from yours?
So OnlyFans takes 20%. So it's a pretty good amount, but it's really easy. There's nothing crazy that you have to do. Basically, if you make $100 that month, they automatically deduct 20%. And so you actually can set up your bank account where you have scheduled withdrawals or deposits, I guess. And so you can do weekly, you can do monthly, you can do daily, you can do manually. And so it does make it really easy. And so that also plays into your pricing. So if you know that you're going to sell something for $100, maybe charge $120 because, you know, they're going to take a bit out. So that's something to consider. Also consider taxes, because this is a job and you do get a 1099 from OnlyFans and you do have to pay those taxes at the end of the year. I know a lot of people think it's like an under the table thing. I'm not sure why, but I know a lot of girls who have gotten to tax season and they're like, oh shit. And they had a really good year and now they owe a ton of money. So just always keep that in mind. I basically do monthly withdrawals because it's not my primary income. It's not what I live off of. So I just get like a nice little bonus at the end of the month. And I put some of it into my savings. I use some of it for debt. And then I use some of it to treat myself.
I love that. And as like a business owner, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, since you're self-employed, I always recommend saving like 40% of your paycheck when you're self-employed to cover all of those taxes that you end up having to pay later on.
That's generous. I save 20%, but you live in California though, so that might be the variance as well. So I always set aside 20%. I probably could set aside more, but I feel like 20% is already a good chunk of my money.
Yeah, it's awful when I set that aside every single month. But I don't ever want to be in a position where I owe thousands and thousands of dollars and have no idea how to get it. And then you'll definitely see me on OnlyFans if that was the case. Now, as like a medical professional, one of my biggest concerns with getting an OnlyFans is people recognizing me. Do you have any advice or thoughts on that?
So I've heard a lot of people with that concern, either because of their job or because of family. And I think it's still doable. I think it makes it hard, but it's still doable. Like I said, you're in total control of the content you make. So if you don't want your face in any of it, or if you want to do maybe everything from the back or whatever it is, like you don't have to have your face in it necessarily. The hard part is going to be promoting your page. And so if you don't want to be promoting it on maybe your Instagram where your coworkers follow you or your cousins follow you, I would recommend starting a new page from scratch and maybe have a different name, a different persona, or a lot of people do characters or themes. Cosplay is big on OnlyFans. So I think that's a way to do it, is to start a new account. Twitter is where a lot of people build their following and their promotions, because Twitter is like a parent company or a partner company, or they have some sort of relation to the OnlyFans company. So they don't shadow ban you. They don't censor you like Instagram does. Facebook, I think, is just a little bit too wholesome still for most people. So I think if you're trying to promote it, then Twitter is a really great place for that. And a good way to build a following, just like if you were trying to build your Instagram following or your blog, you can pay for shout outs with bigger accounts. So if you find a girl who has a much bigger account on OnlyFans or much bigger Twitter or much bigger Instagram, most of these girls will actually take payment for a shout out. And so they'll retweet your photo with your link. That's one way that a lot of people build their following and also build their Twitter. And so that's I think Twitter is probably the biggest market for OnlyFans girls. And that's how it's done. So I have friends who charge $40 to $300 for a retweet. And that retweet could get you a ton of new followers, whether it's on Twitter or on OnlyFans. So that's one way to do it. You can also do trade for promotions in OnlyFans. So maybe promote another girl to your subscribers and they promote you. But obviously that's maybe once you have a bigger following. So there's a couple of things like that you can do to get a little bit of a push without having to completely start from scratch. There's also the option to start under somebody. So for example, I started my account under my best friend's OnlyFans. And so she actually gets 5 of the 20% that OnlyFans collects. So I don't lose any money for using her referral link, but she gets an extra 5% of my revenue. So that's an incentive for her to promote my page more because she's getting a percentage of it. But that also means that she can help me, teach me how to the ways of OnlyFans and all that. And if you start to get more girls under you, then maybe you have 5 or 6 girls and you're collecting 5%. So I think she's a huge following. She's very empowering and, you know, encourages a lot of women to, you know, take finances into their own hands. So she has a handful of girls who have used her referral link and she's helping them build their profile. So that's another way to get a following too, because it's an incentive for them and it's a win-win. So that's a really good option. Whether you are trying to hide your profile or not, that's really good ways to go about it.
I love that idea. And this literally all sounds like marketing 101, like how to start a business from the ground up. It's crazy. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this information about OnlyFans with me. I appreciate it. And I've learned so much about the process and how it all works. And I know that a lot of listeners are going to also learn a lot from this. Where can the listeners find you at?
Yeah, if they want to reach out, I'm on Instagram. It's Valerie Rocio, R-O-C-I-O. And if anybody has any questions, a little bit more specific that I didn't mention about OnlyFans, or if you're interested and have a more personal question to ask, I'm happy. If you want to slide into my DMs, I'm happy to talk about it and answer anything. Or if you want to use my referral link, I'm down for that. But you can find me on Instagram and you can check out any of my businesses through the link in my Instagram bio as well.
Yes. And you got to make sure you go check out her awesome podcast, You Glow Girl. And if you're in the Dallas area, you definitely want to get scheduled for one of her picnics because they are absolutely adorable. And yeah, I think that's everything. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.